This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, where we go behind the headlines and explore what's driving the press. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. In an era where misinformation and disinformation is spread at the blink of an eye through social media, it's sometimes hard to decide whether we can actually believe the headlines that we read. Is it real or is it fake news, as we commonly say? Enter fact-checking. The term is self-explanatory. It means verifying information for truth or correctness. But it's become even more critical in the current global political climate, so much so that there are organizations dedicated to investigating whether a political claim is fact or fiction. On today's show, I speak to John Greenberg, a senior correspondent at PolitiFact, one of the pioneering fact-checking news organizations in the U.S. Thanks for joining me on the show today, John.
My pleasure.
So PolitiFact is a news organization that focuses exclusively on political fact-checking. Is fact-checking something that's missing in the media landscape at the moment? I mean, how do you see yourselves? Do you see yourselves as filling a gap that's not there?
When we started back in 2007, we totally filled a gap. There had been some activity before, but fact-checking was not all that common. So the good news is fact-checking has been discovered. We are now imitated all over the place. And even though that's competition for us, I would say in terms of the public benefit, when you see fact checks clearly being worked into the first one or two paragraphs in a New York Times story, or when you see a crawl of text across the bottom of a CNN story that basically offers corrective information to what you might be seeing on the screen, then I say all to the better for the American public. Sometimes they're getting fact-checking in real time. Sometimes it's only delayed by about 5 minutes, but it is doing what fact-checking should do, which is if a political leader says something that is factually inaccurate, they should be made aware of that.
I'm surprised that you said fact-checking wasn't a big thing before 2007. I mean, I would think that journalism and news reporting, it's based on fact. So why was there a gap in the first place?
So maybe it's a question of a term of art, but what we had seen before then is there would be episodic efforts by news organizations, generally at election time, and generally geared towards political advertising. So they might have AdWatch. I know CBS News did this back in the 90s. And they would do that, and then they would stop. So the difference that came about was fact-checking as a 24/7, this is what we do, this is our discipline, and it's highly structured. That didn't emerge until later. Also, that sense of commitment, not just that we're going to do this all the time, but this is all we do. And I think that that was the difference.
Can you describe for us the process of fact-checking? How do you go about determining what's the truth and what's made up? So you take a statement. Could you walk us through what's being done?
Sure. But actually, you said, so you take a statement. Actually, identifying the precise statement that you're checking is a critical first step. Because from that, you look at every word in the statement, and it structures your work from that point forward. So broadly, you know, what we're doing is we're looking for any kind of hard evidence, independent evidence that will inform the reader as to whether or not the statement is completely accurate, somewhat less than accurate, worse than that, you know, and very much inaccurate. We're always asking ourselves two questions as fact checkers. We put on one hat and we say, what hard data could we find that would say this statement is accurate? And then we put on the other hat. We say, what hard data would we need to find to say that it is inaccurate? So the things we go for are going to be government statistics. We do a lot of work with spreadsheets. We'll also look for good, solid academic studies. Very, very often, we do not pretend that we understand everything. So even when we're looking at a data table and we say, no, we know we understand this data table, very often we'll get in touch with some academic who works in that field. And we ask them to verify our understanding. And a lot of times they know more about what lies behind the data than we do. And that can make a big difference. So we try to be very careful in relying on hard data, relying on independent experts, and getting to the point where we say, this is what the data tell us. And then we make a considered judgment as to the relative accuracy or inaccuracy of the statement.
And how long does it take normally to come to that endpoint of whether a statement is true or not? Because it seems like a long process.
Yeah, now, of course, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on have we researched something like this before. It depends on if the statement is wildly inaccurate. So essentially, we say it takes about a day to get from the starting point, get to the end point, but it's not at all uncommon to go to a day and a half. Now, there are other fact checks that take about an hour and a half. It can vary.
For the benefit of our listeners, could you explain the verdict system that you use? How do you categorize the different levels of fact?
So what you're talking about was the greatest marketing device a news organization has ever come up with. That's hyperbolic, may not be true, but this has really been great. So the founder of PolitiFact, talking to other people, came up with the idea of the truthometer. So the truthometer is, it kind of looks like a little meter that you might see with the needle pointing in one direction. It points towards green if something is totally true. A little bit less than that is mostly true. Points up into the middle, that's yellow, and that's sort of half true. Heads towards the red zone, and you get to mostly false. And then you hit the red zone and it's all the way over and it says false. And then for worse than that, for something that is just, you knew it was wrong, it's been proved to be wrong, it's a crazy statement, ridiculous statement, we have pants on fire, which has turned out to be very popular among our readers.
I can imagine. It's a catchy verdict, pants on fire.
Right. Although it's sort of a bit of a dance because we never say that the person who made the statement lied. Why? Because a lie is the intent to deceive. We're saying we don't want to step inside their head. We're not psychologists. Let's leave that alone. All we want to do is measure the degree of accuracy. So pants on fire, everyone knows the old nursery rhyme, liar, liar, pants on fire. We just sort of leave off the first part and just say pants on fire and leave it to you to fill in the rest.
PolitiFact seeks to present the true facts unaffected by agenda or biases. This is very clearly stated in your mission statement. In your experience as a journalist, how successful is this in practice? Can you really divorce how you view things when you're trying to fact check, or does your own personal viewpoint color the way you determine a statement's accuracy?
I would say that we're pretty successful. And the reason we're pretty successful is we recognize that if you only look at the world a certain way, you're going to only talk to certain people and see certain results. So what we do as a habit is we make sure we talk to other kinds of people. Let's take an issue of economics. There are more liberal economists. There are more conservative economists. If an issue hinges on how you look at economic data, and you might look at it differently, then as a matter of practice, I make sure that I will speak to different kinds of economists. But I will tell you this, before I'll go run to a known conservative and before I'll run to a known liberal, I will first work my whole list of economists who I trust to be straight shooters, who, whatever their preference might be, they are the sort of people who say, but there's also data on the other side. And those are the people who think the way we do. And I'd also say that, setting aside your experts, you develop an ability to look at data and slice it and dice it in different ways so that you can make the case another way, if it's possible. And I have done that, where you take a look at how trends have moved over a period of years. And there can be multiple ways to look at that. You can say, am I looking from the change from 2016 to 2017 to 2018 to 2019? Am I going to look at the jump from 2016 to 2019? You just come up with the different ways that you can look at the same set of numbers and see if it comes up with different results. And when it does, you share that with the audience.
And how do you know if what you're doing is effective? How do you measure the success of your reporting? Are you looking at convincing the fence sitters? Or ultimately, are you reaffirming the beliefs of those who already share the same point of view?
So it's really difficult to know. We know that we're taken seriously because sometimes politicians will say, or their staff will say, he or she got it wrong, and they'll just fess up right away. I would say the level of imitation that has taken place. The New York Times did not have a fact checker. They hired one of my colleagues, Linda Q, and she's doing a great job. So I would say that imitation has proven that there's value to what we're doing. I guess we all face that same black box. We know there are a lot of people out there. We don't know how many of them are persuaded or find what we do illuminating. But I will say this, we're getting very high web traffic. If that's a measure of whether or not people find us useful, we have at this point about 9 million people a month coming to our website. That's not bad.
I'm speaking to John Greenberg, senior correspondent with PolitiFact, a fact-checking organization based in Washington, D.C. We'll have more from this conversation after the break. Stay with us, BFM 89.9. Hello, I'm Shazana, and this is Pressing Matters on the Morning Run. We're discussing fact-checking and why this has become an important area of work in news reporting with John Greenberg, senior correspondent with PolitiFact. PolitiFact is one of the pioneering fact-checking news organizations set up over a decade ago in Florida, just before the 2008 U.S. general elections. It's now housed under the Poynter Institute of Media Studies, headquartered in Washington, D.C. Let's pivot to the political climate. Let's pivot to the political discourse in the U.S. at the moment. So, I mean, to the outsider, the climate in the U.S. seems particularly toxic and polarized. How do you see it from your perspective on the ground? Is this a point of concern for you, or is this just a sign of a healthy democracy?
No, it's not healthy. And I basically buy into the framework that was developed by some good analytic folks up at Harvard, actually in their law school, the Berkman Center for Internet Studies. They did some good, very objective analysis, and they drew a diagram of our media ecosystem. And there are two large bubbles. One bubble is on the right, and that's got Fox News and Breitbart and Daily Caller. And then there is another bubble that actually has more individual users in it. It's a left and center bubble. And this is an important distinction. When they say left and center, they mean that people who circulate, users who get information in that realm, they will move from a centrist publication like the Wall Street Journal, and they'll also take a look at the Huffington Post, more on the left, so that they actually circulate through more of a range of political attitudes. In contrast, the right is the right, and people there don't cross over very much to take a look at what the centrist news organizations are saying. So it's much more of an echo chamber on the right with real consequences.
Do the extreme left have bubbles as well? Because you're describing the center, the middle ground.
That's the point, that people who, let's take the Daily Kos, which is always churning out liberal material. And you will find, whether it's there or someplace else, a conspiracy theory emerge. So here's where the life cycle of a left-wing conspiracy theory and a right-wing conspiracy theory differ. With the left-wing conspiracy theory, imagine it emerges on the periphery. It makes its way into the center, where it is killed by outfits like the New York Times or USA Today, and it dies. The difference on the right-wing side is it, again, comes in from the periphery, InfoWars being a popular site. And as it comes in, it isn't killed. It may not be affirmed by Fox News, but they may give it a sort of a nod and a wink, or they may include it as, well, some people even say, and it doesn't die. They don't kill it. And that's the difference in the way these two different groupings handle stuff that comes in from the fringes.
So how should a non-American approach news media in the U.S.? I mean, we're told to diversify our sources of media so we can get a well-rounded perspective. But would you advise non-Americans maybe not to read the right-wing outlets?
No, it depends on what your interest is. If you would find it interesting, there can be totally accurate reporting coming out of a place like Fox News. And I'll tell you, here's one thing that you might want to pay attention to. The message of the headline can be very different from the sensibility of the actual article. You see that divergence. It's not infrequent in Fox News. They've got some good, solid journalists there. What they might not have are good, solid headline writers.
Are you concerned about media freedoms under the current administration?
At the moment, no, but I think that it's incredibly irresponsible. I think it's really bad to talk about the press as the enemy of the people. That is a total distortion. And I think even for people who say, well, no, I don't really think the press is the enemy of the people, the message, the drumbeat, is that the press distorts everything. And so the real corrosive impact is that people trust the press less and less in this environment. I think that there are steps that we can take to regain trust, but it is extremely difficult. So that's the main damage that is done.
And as we move towards the November general elections, are there any worst case scenarios in your head? Are there any trends that you're keeping an eye out for in terms of political coverage?
We have a huge project in conjunction with Facebook, as are several other news organizations, including the Associated Press and Reuters, to shoot down the posts that show up on Facebook that are completely wrong or may have an element of truth but are still wrong, and they can be dangerous in some situations. And this is a very important service that we provide. Because once we determine that a post is inaccurate, it is downplayed in people's news feeds. There are different screens, if you will, that show up so that if someone comes across something that has been debunked and found false, they can still see it. But first, they're going to see a warning that says, independent fact checkers have found this to be false. Click if you want to see it. So it gives people a moment of pause and hesitation before they swallow something hook, line, and sinker. I don't have any kind of doomsday scenario in my mind. I firmly believe that there are more people somewhere in the political center in this country than there are people on the fringes. And I think that our job is to reach them. I think that we can reach them. We're just going to do our darndest. And I think that people in that mode are receptive to what we have to offer.
That was John Greenberg, senior correspondent with U.S. fact-checking organization PolitiFact. You can check out their latest reporting at politifact.com. This has been Pressing Matters on the Morning Run. Up next is the 10 a.m. news bulletin, and then Enterprise takes you through the rest of the morning. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.